And welcome into the Big O Show. Orlando Pace, the Hall of Famer, here to talk about what went wrong. No, come on. We had Orlando, we had Marshall Faulk buying into the Buckeyes. And when it was 14-14, I had my popcorn ready. And then, well, Alabama just kind of did their thing. And can you accept the fact that Bama is just so damn good that nobody can keep up with them?
I didn't do as much trash talking as I normally do with my Buckeyes because I knew their offense was just special. I had no idea Devontae Smith was that good. I hadn't watched a whole Bama game before, but the way they found ways to get him the ball was phenomenal. I was a little pissed off at our game planning because normally we're really good at game planning. And, we had a middle linebacker on him one time. And I was like, dude, you got to cover this guy with at least two guys if he's blazing you for 200 yards and a half. And I don't feel like we made adjustments quick enough or any adjustments in terms of trying to stop him or even slow him down. So I was a little frustrated by that. And I knew we had to go out and outscore him. We had to score almost every time we got the ball and just hope that, we could stop him one or two times. But, that's a high-powered offense, probably one of the best that's ever played a college game. So it was going to be a tall task for us. And then we kind of limped into the game as well. Justin Field, who's a warrior, true tough guy, I'm sure he was still feeling the effects of that hit the week before in the Clemson game. So because he wasn't running as hard as he normally runs, and I'm sure those ribs or that hip pointer was affecting him big time.
How often, like you were talking about Devontae Smith being wide open, and everybody is saying the same thing, is you might want to cover this guy. He just won the Heisman. There's no help over the top. How often is it like bad strategy, and then sometimes maybe a kid's in the wrong spot? Like if you got the coach, he might be like, yeah, you don't think I know that? So-and-so was supposed to – his ass was on the wrong side of the field. Like I bet sometimes it's just a kid screwed up.
Oh, yeah, I think that's what happened a couple of times. We had our middle linebacker on them, and I'm sure there's supposed to be a safety over the top. But, that Steve Sarkisian, am I saying his name right? He did a phenomenal job of just putting him in the backfield, motioning him out, getting him out in space, and creating mismatches for our defense, which we struggled mightily in the first half. Even when he went out the game, we couldn't stop him. That's how good they were. So, I knew it was going to be a tough matchup, and it was a tough loss for my Buckeyes.
Now, listen, Ohio State's got plenty of stud recruits, but Alabama, it's like at another level. Why do so many kids want to go there? Is it just because of the name now, the brand? Is it because they're going to possibly win a title? Does Nick Saban win them over? I will say he seems a little more likable than maybe 10 years ago. He seems to have a little more fun. He's less prickly with the media. Kind of maybe a little more self-deprecating, but ultimately like a kid, why, if you had choices, you can go anywhere to play college football, why do you think Alabama wins that war so many times?
I just think the brand sells itself. I think when you look at like the type of NFL players that they produce, the first round, somebody gave me a stat the other day where they may have 7 first round picks out of this class. Unbelievable. So if I'm a 5-star athlete or a big time quarterback or whatever you might be, obviously, your chances increases if you become a starter at Alabama. You go to Alabama, you got a pretty good chance that you'll play in the league. And one thing that Saban does that a lot of people don't do is he's made adjustments over the years. Martin, to your point, he's not as structured. He's changed with recruiting and knowing the athletes and knowing how to recruit those guys and get them to come to Alabama. So he's adjusted his recruiting. And the thing that with Saban that's pretty remarkable. Every year he's looking for a new offensive coordinator. He and to still maintain that type of success at that school and switching in offensive coordinators year in and year out, it's really a credit to his team and his program.
As an Ohio State guy, you're probably fine with the fact that the Buckeyes are always going to be in the mix. Alabama's in the mix, and Georgia and Oklahoma and all the traditional powers. Is there any way to freshen it up for the average fan who says, let me guess, next year's Final Four will be Alabama and some combination of Ohio State, Georgia, Notre Dame? Do you think 8 would help? I mean, doesn't it seem like it'd be fun to get a Coastal Carolina or Cincinnati, a random team in there every once in a while?
Yeah, I think they got to expand it. I think they got to expand it because there's always that one team. My teammate, Luke Fickell, who's the head coach at Cincinnati, who's a Buckeye, he's one of those guys that he just, you know, obviously they're not a Power Five school, so it's difficult for those guys to get in. But I think you never know what will happen if those type of teams get in. They're playing good football. They get hot. And they could knock off one of these teams that we talked about, a Clemson or Ohio State or anybody at that point. But I'll tell you what's lagging for us a little bit. The Pac-12 out there is lagging. Normally there's a West Coast team, a USC 10 years ago that was a really good team. Oregon showed flashes. That part of it is really down. And then the Big 12, you know, they don't have a lot coming out of there as well. So, but they have the resources and the money. I think Texas is of the world, the USC's of the world, have the money to compete with recruiting and get up there in that top, you know, three or four teams.
You know, we touched on this with Alabama and kids wanting to go there. For a while, Mizzou was always changing their uniform and their helmets. And Gary Pinkle said, listen, kids care about this stuff. He said, I know you alumni and media bitch about all our uniforms, but the kids like it. So when you're picking a school, is it coach? Is it brand? Is a uniform really part of it?
I think it is. I think these new age kids are you know, they love the, you know, the new uniforms. But those five-star guys don't really care. If you look at Alabama, they never change their uniform. Ohio State, every time they change it, you know, it's an uproar because the traditionalists are a little disappointed because they want, the scarlet and gray, you know, to be, you know, that traditional uniform. So that program really recruits itself. One thing that stood out to me when I go back to some of these college campuses is how nice the facilities are. Just everything that you want, they're actually better than the pro facilities because they have state of the art everything you want, and that would sell me on a lot of universities now because you know you go there, you got the best saunas, the best weight room, the player lounges. They're making you know customized smoothies for players and what they need. So when you look at that type of facility, that would sell me alone.
Yeah, that does seem to be a big part of the recruiting wars right now is what kind of setup do you have for the players day in, day out? Former Buckeye coach Urban Meyer in the mix at the NFL level may take that Jacksonville job. I've always kind of seen coaches and said, oh, he's an NFL guy. Oh, he's a college guy. And every once in a while they'll make the leap. Nick Saban tried it for 2 years with the Dolphins. I think they were okay. They weren't terrible. But Lou Holtz famously didn't really work for him, went to the Jets years ago. Why is that so tricky? Like Urban Meyer is obviously a really good football coach. I'm not convinced. Granted, Jacksonville's got their own issues, but do players see it that way too? Do some guys just feel like college coaches?
I think the toughest part for Urban going into this situation, I think Saban struggled with it, is control. Obviously trying to develop young 17, 18-year-old kids is different than, you know, 25-year-old millionaires, right? So I think he needs to understand that part of it. But to their point, when you have success in college as a coach, you always wonder as a coach, can I coach in the NFL, right? It's the best league in the world, and I'm sure he's got that itch. But one thing I would say to him is relinquish a little bit of control and then get some experienced guys around him where he could almost be just the figurehead of the Jacksonville Jaguars and just let everybody else – you know, let the OC do, offensive coordinator do his thing, defensive coordinator do his thing. And then you just kind of, you know, the head guy there and try to motivate to get guys to play hard and win some ball games. So,
yeah, it reminded me, your former teammate Keith Lyle told me a story. He went to Washington and Marty Schottenheimer is the coach and Marty's old school. And Keith said it like the middle of the week at a team meeting or something. And Marty decided to go after Bruce Smith. And was just like tearing him apart. I think it was, didn't Bruce go there at the end of his career?
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he was there. Yeah.
And so like Lyle is like, man, he went after Bruce, and we were all like, we're with him. We're out, man. And like it backfired because yeah, if you try and exhibit too much control,
yeah,
NFL like in college, hey, it's my way or the highway. Every kid has to fall in line. But the NFL, that didn't work with some of these guys. That is a tricky. That's a balance, you know. How about it? Would you want a head coach if you went through a coaching change when March was fired and Joe Vitt filled in and they ultimately hired Scott Linehan, which was a disaster. But
right.
As a player, Are you wanting the hot assistant to come in, and because you've heard good things, or do players say, give me a proven guy?
I would take a proven guy every day of the week, because you kind of know who they are. They understand the game. When the new guys come in that's never had any coaching experience, they struggle and they lose the respect of some of the veterans in the locker room. When guys are up there giving some BS stats about whatever, and you're like, dude, we're just trying to win games. You know, this is what it's about. And you could tell, and I've been in St. Louis here, we went through some coaches that when they stood in front of the team, they didn't have confidence. And we knew it. And we're like, how can we go play a game when our coach doesn't really have any confidence? And you know, he can't even give us a pregame speech without sounding nervous. So that always scared me and made me a little nervous and like, hey, I don't know if this is the guy. But you got a proven guy that's been around the league and understand players. That's really where you want to be, who's willing to adjust some of the things that he either didn't do well before, or he was under a Belichick or somebody that has some structure in place where, you know, they could have success.
Now, another Marshall Faulk theory is that teams should stick with coaches longer. He said you have to have continuity. And I look now, there's 7 jobs open. I'm going to tell you right now, there aren't 7 good NFL coaches hanging out. Like, some of these are like, oh, give them a shot, but you know they're going to be a bust. Is it too much of a carousel right now? I would think for players that's disruptive.
It is. I don't think they're giving players enough time to develop, and I don't think they're giving coaches enough time to develop. If you look at Philly, the guy in Philly just won a Super Bowl 3 years ago, and he's out. He's out as a coach. I think owners are really impatient in terms of their development. You know, obviously, and let coaches and players develop and be, you know, be who they are, get the team in, get the right guys in. But, that's why I never go into coaching, because, you know, obviously you're moving every couple years and it's difficult because times are changing. If you don't adjust with the times, then you're out.
Yeah. You ever look at an assistant's resume? It'll be like 14 stops, you know?
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. And these are some of these really good, let's say a D coordinator at the NFL level, just pick any one of them. I bet you if you look, it'd be like started graduate assistant at Morehead State, went to Wyoming for a year, well, Minnesota staff for 2 years, and then Penn State for a summer. It's unbelievable.
What's nuts, Martin, is when you sit there, he's the hot assistant, right? And then 3 years later, he's like a lame duck coach, right? He's kind of just walking around. Well, you guys just said he was a hot coach. You know, 3 years ago, you thought he could run the team. But where guys really fail is they can run an offense, but they can't manage 53 men on a roster, right? Offense, defense, handle everybody in the media as well. And they struggle because they, you know, when they get the tough questions, they don't know what to do because they don't have a relationship. They're just used to being an offensive guy or a defensive guy.
Yeah, and I think the Linehan hire, in his defense, it was the wrong time. It was the wrong place for him to get a crack at it because you had so many guys who had been at a star level that had a swagger because of Mike Martz and kind of had a certain approach. It was just a square peg in a round hole. Like, it was just because Scott did good things as an OC, working with good players and had some success there. It just, you kind of have to know your team's like makeup as well, right? Where the guy's got to come in and there's got to be a fit.
Yeah, and that's a front office decision, right? You have to understand the temperament of your team, who you have on your team, where everybody, the key guys are in the stage of their careers. Really consult with guys and say, hey, man, do you think this is a good fit? Because if he comes in and I don't know, you know, certain guys, I don't know how they must interview well or just know somebody or something. But, you know, obviously when you have a veteran team that's had success in this league and knows what success looks like, you want to bring a guy in, you know, not a young guy that has no experience. You want to bring a guy in that has some real experience. And to Coach Vermeil's point, he hadn't coached in years, but he came in and he surrounded himself with older coaches that helped him succeed.
All right, let's talk about the games this weekend. Your Rams against my Packers. We'll just put it that way. Let's start with Lambeau Field. You went up there a handful of times. I want to say maybe your rookie year, Mark Rippon was the QB.
Oh, yeah, a few times.
Monday night game where they just ran like crazy.
Freezing cold out that night, too.
And then we played for the Bears, too. So did you like going to Lambeau?
Yeah, labels are cool. I think once you go once, you kind of, you know, the nostalgia and all that stuff, you kind of get by it. And you just kind of, you know, you understand what it is at that point. You're just out there playing football. But it's a pretty cool place to go play, especially my last year with the Bears because the rivalry is so big. I wanted to see what that rivalry is about, and it was huge. So I was excited to be a part of that team and to be a part of that rivalry and just kind of feel the energy in the air. So it was really cool. My Rams this week, they've been on that Cali sun for a while, and I'm sure it's going to be cold in Green Bay, and hopefully they're ready to play. You know, they went out to Seattle and got that win last week, and I was a little nervous going in because I didn't know what Wolford would do when he started off, but Jared Goff came in and he did his thing, and that defense is playing phenomenal right now, so. Jalen Ramsey, it'll be a good matchup against Davante Adams. So excited to see that.
If you had to win one playoff game, what quarterback would you take? Like this weekend, any team's playing, and you're the GM, and they say, Orlando, you can grab any QB to win this game. Would it be Aaron Rodgers?
Ooh, that's tough. I like Pat Mahomes, man, Patrick Mahomes. You know, obviously just because they're flying so high right now after coming after a Super Bowl win. But I think Aaron Rodgers, to your point, he almost has a chip on his shoulder because he hears so much about the Mahomes talk. He'll probably never say it, but he hears so much about it, and he's playing good football too. But when you look at his talent level that he plays with compared to what Mahomes plays with, it really doesn't compare. So, he'd be a close second if I had to choose one quarterback over another.
All right, fun to have Buffalo in the playoffs and winning a game. They're going to host the Ravens. So you see that's a great matchup too. A lot of talent on both sides, good offense. Who wins that game?
It's tough, man. Cause Buffalo's playing they're playing at a high level, you know, with what they're doing. But I think when you got Lamar Jackson running that offense the way he does, if he can get out in the field, you know, out in the open field and run, it's going to be difficult for Buffalo to stop. You know, obviously they've been riding high. They've been, you know, you know, I like, to be honest with you, I like Baltimore in that game. I think what they showed last week against Tennessee, their style of play, the way they run the ball, the way they, you know, they get after guys. I think they will go up to Buffalo and win that next week.
Yeah, they're one of those teams, like if it were the NCAA tournament, we'd say they're underseeded. Like they're better than kind of, they came in at the bottom of the pile in the AFC. Like that team was 14-2 a year ago. They're pretty good. All right, Sunday, and I don't know if we've ever talked about it, because I know you like the Fab Five in Michigan. Did you root for the Browns when you were a kid?
I'm a Browns guy. I was excited when they beat Pittsburgh last week. Because everybody in my family, they love Cleveland and the Browns. And obviously, you know, that city, that area, I'm born and raised in that area. I know what the Browns mean to that entire state of Ohio. And for them to get their first playoff win and I don't know, 17 years or whatever it might be, it's really exciting for the city in that area. So I know they were a little undermanned last week. No coach, a couple coaches out, a couple players out, but they got a tough challenge. They'll have their hands full with KC this weekend.
Yeah, the playoff drought for Cleveland was 18 years, and then the winning of a playoff game, the last one, Bill Belichick was the coach. It was 95. You would have been a freshman at Ohio State.
Yeah.
That's a fan base that was starved for a playoff win.
And the great thing about the Cleveland Brown fans are, no matter what, they always show up. They're always loud. They're always passionate about their team. And I was telling somebody, when the Cavs won a few years ago, it was a huge celebration in Cleveland. If the Browns win a Super Bowl, it'd be the best celebration in the history of the NFL. Trust me. That whole state, you know, would be just crazy.
Was Bernie Kosar your guy? I'm a little older. I remember Brian Sipe. That's going.
Yeah. Bernie Kosar was my guy. Big Kevin Mack with the, you know, the shoulder pads. John Elway broke my heart a few times with the drive, or, you know, Ernest Barney with the fumble. So I lived through all those things with the Cleveland Browns, and I was a huge, huge fan of the Browns as a kid.
Yeah, almost too much heartache for one fan. You would have been like, you were probably like in middle school those back-to-back years when that stuff was happening.
Yeah. I remember giving up the team. Like, I'm rooting for somebody else. I can't do it with the Browns as a kid. So, but yeah, it was one of those things where you, like, every year you knew something was going to happen. So to for them to get their win. And you know, obviously, you never know. Baker get hot. You know, they could shock KC. You just never know.
How about Brady and Breeze? 41 years old Breeze, 43-year-old Tom Brady. He's on the road. New Orleans likes playing at home. I know it's not the same as most years, but what do you see happening?
It's hard to bet against Tom. I think Tom, he understands what this time of year means. He understands it's playoff football. You know, obviously they have a ton of talent on the outside. I think they'll beat New Orleans, even though New Orleans got them twice, because it is tough to beat a team three times. I do like Tampa Bay in that game. I think it's hard to bet on Tom and that talent he has on that team. And he wants to stick it to the Patriots too, by the way.
Is there no doubt that the further Tom goes, the more he's kind of whispering to people, it was me, it was me.
It was all me. Hey, if they go to the Super Bowl, man, I'm telling you, he'll really stick it to the Patriots at that point.
Oh, man. Well, I've got you down for Ravens. Probably you picking the Chiefs, rooting for the Browns, but picking the Chiefs?
I'm picking the Chiefs, yeah. It's hard to bet against the Chiefs.
All right, and picking the Buccaneers. Did you pick the Packers or Rams?
That's tough. That's tough.
I know who you're looking for.
I'm going with the Rams. I'm going with the Rams. I just know AD's having some abdomen problems, which will be tough. And I just think the cold weather, those Cali boys, I'm not sure if they're ready for that type of cold in Lambeau Field. But I am rooting them on, and I hope they get a win.
Oh, listen, he doesn't want to piss off Kroenke. Look at him. So I picked. He knows they're not going to win. He doesn't want to pick them up.
How about you, Marta? I know you're going with the Packers, though, right?
You know, it's funny. I worked up there, and I've been to a bunch of games for work and as a fan. I'm not, like, passionate, but I'd like to see them win. I like the Packers. I like Rodgers. I think they'll win. I think the Rams, that's asking a lot, 2 weeks in a row with a banged-up QB situation to go on the road. I mean, they played great to knock off Seattle. That's impressive as hell. I would pick the Packers, certainly rooting for the Packers. You know, you guys were playing them 1 year, and we're at Rams Park in Earth City, and I'm in that hallway, and the media would just kind of line the hallway, and you guys would come from the practice field to the locker room. And I was minding my own business, and Marshall Faulk stops and goes, "Hey, everybody, Martin's a Packers fan. Don't talk to him this week. He's rooting for Green Bay." And I'm like, I'm an objective journalist, first and foremost. One of my favorite games is when you guys blasted Favre in the pack and Aeneas had two touchdowns.
Yeah, that was a great
game. I love that game.
I tell you, though, I want to know what's going on with the Jared Goff story, because it seems like it's more than just a thumb for me. And I don't know what it is, but we'll see this week who starts. I don't know if they announced it yet or not, who's going to start. But I like to see more about that story between he and McVay, and who starts.
So. Yeah, we never know the whole story, but it was crazy. He was able to play and then played pretty well, even though we didn't think he was going to play at all. Pretty strange. Oh, have a great weekend. Enjoy the football.
All right, it should be a fun weekend, man. I'll talk to you next week.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.